Hello, I'm Maurice Powell. Welcome to A Little Like Music, Manx Radio's regular Thursday evening classical music hour. I'm going to begin this evening's selection with the music of Jan Dismas Zelenka. Who's he, I hear you cry? Well, he was a very important composer during the first half of the 18th century, a contemporary of Bach and Handel. In fact, Bach knew him and admired his music. Zelenka worked at the court of Dresden, mainly one of the most sumptuous and wealthy courts in Europe, with a magnificent orchestra, an orchestra so good even Vivaldi in Venice wrote for it. Bach travelled to Dresden on a couple of occasions at least, and would have loved to have been offered an appointment there, but he had to put up with being stuck at Leipzig instead. The rest, as they say, is history. Zelenka was actually employed as the court double bass player, not as a composer at all, but he did an enormous amount of composing, particularly a whole series of wonderful masses for the court chapel and some orchestral music, chamber music. He was rather overlooked, in fact, because after putting in many years of excellent service and writing a good deal of music for the court, when it came time for a bit of advancement for him, they gave the job, which he might have applied for, to an even better well-known composer, Hasse, who was famous for his operas. So he was rather overlooked. Nevertheless, Zelenka's music, it's quirky, it's incredibly difficult to play. If you like Bach, if you like Vivaldi, if you like Handel, you'll certainly find something interesting in Zelenka. I'm going to play two movements from his Capriccio No. 2 in G major, an introductory allegro and then a descriptive canari.
Thank you.
The music of Jan Dismas Zelenka, two movements from his Capriccio No. 2 in G major, with some very scary horn parts, and the little dance there, the canary, perhaps reminiscent of French ballet music, perhaps, by someone like Rameau or one of those contemporaries. Which leads us really to the next piece, rather neatly, if I say so myself, and the music of Gretry, who was writing in Paris in the sort of 1770s and 80s, enormously popular composer of operas and ballets. It's something of a rival to Mozart, briefly, when Mozart spent just about a year in Paris looking for a suitable appointment, but unfortunately not finding one. Gretry's most famous opera, and one that was performed well into the 19th century, was Richard the Lionheart, and it's still worth hearing now. Perhaps not quite as dramatic a composer as, say, Gluck or Salieri, both of whom spent time in Paris writing French-style operas, but his music has a certain grace about it, which is very attractive. So I'm going to play three short pieces from one of his opera ballets, Cephale e Procrisse. It was first performed at the Theatre at Versailles in 1773. It's a mixture, as I say, of opera and ballet, rather the sort of thing that Rameau was famous for the generation earlier. The story, well, Procrisse, a nymph of Diana, falls in love with the hunter Cephalus. Unfortunately, this angers the goddess Aurora, never a good idea. But all's well that ends well, because Diana steps in at the last minute and unites the lovers. So here we have a pantomime, followed by a minuet, French dance, of course. This one has a voice part with it. And finally, a tambourine, the music of Grétry.
Thank you.
The music of Grétry from his opera ballet Cephale et Procris, a pantomime, a minuet, and lastly there, the tambourine, and taken there from a live performance. Amiable and entertaining. Perfect for our programme. And now for some British light music and the music of Robert Farnon, whose name appears here quite frequently and justifiably so. In the generation after Eric Coates and Haydn Wood, Farnon, who first came here during the Second World War with the Canadian Air Force Band and stayed on, brought new life and vigour to British light music with his wonderful orchestrations and perky tunes. Here we have then the Peanut Polka, written in 1951 as a sequel to the perhaps better known Jumping Bean. Robert Farnon, Peanut Polka. Robert Farnon's exuberant and perky, I think is the right word, Peanut Polka. And now to the music of Louis Spohr, another favourite composer of mine, not nearly as well known as he used to be in the 19th century. He was a man of all seasons as a composer. I mean, he wrote 15 violin concertos. He was himself a virtuoso violinist. He wrote double violin concertos and lots of shorter pieces. He wrote 10 symphonies, about 10 operas, 4 oratorios, a huge amount of chamber music, including over 30 string quartets, string quintets, a sextet, even an octet and a nonet. So he was quite a busy chap, and there are songs and sacred music as well. He was famous also as a teacher and a conductor. The name Spohr certainly rang very loudly in the first half of the 19th century, and for many he even rivaled Beethoven in greatness. So, let's hear one of his violin pieces, not from a concerto, but from one of the shorter pieces that he used to take around with him when he was touring around Europe. This is a potpourri on Irish themes, Opus 59, written in 1820 in London during his first of many visits to England, where his oratorios particularly rivaled even those of Mendelssohn in popularity. It consists of three sections: an introduction, a variation, and then a perky finale. I won't attempt to pronounce the Irish themes, but this is a highly attractive piece, which would be lovely to hear on the island sometime. So, the potpourri on Irish themes by Louis Spohr. So plenty of violin fireworks there in Louis Spohr's Potpourri on Irish Themes, Opus 59, written in London in 1820. So the music now of Sir Arthur Sullivan, we should say, of course, one of the most important British English composers anyway. In the 19th century. We know him best of all, of course, because of the wonderful operettas he wrote with Gilbert. But before that, of course, he wrote a good deal of other music and rather thought that he would have a career as a serious composer, very much in the sort of Mendelssohn and Schumann mould. Well, it wasn't quite to be. He did write a lot of very interesting music, including a very fine symphony, some concert overtures, a good deal of sacred music, including four or possibly five oratorios, and of course much incidental music to those wonderful London revivals of Shakespeare's plays. His best known oratorio probably is The Light of the World, and it was recorded, I think, for the first time 2-3 years ago, and I managed to get hold of a copy, and a very fine piece it is as well. No rum-ti-tum-ti-tum rhythms going on here. Gives us a chance to hear what Sullivan's music is like away from operetta. But of course the problem is that he found himself going head to head with Handel. It was commissioned by the Birmingham Music Festival in 1873, and they basically said, we want you to write an oratorio that will bring in huge crowds, just like Mendelssohn's Elijah. So, no pressure. So he chose basically the same story as Handel's Messiah. And you'll recognise in the couple of extracts I'm going to play some very familiar words. There were shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. And for unto you this day is born a child in the city of David. These words are, of course, very familiar from all those that love Handel's Messiah, and who doesn't? So, an interesting piece, not heard very often. You'd have to travel a long way to hear a proper live concert performance of The Light of the World, but it would be worth it. So, here's two extracts anyway. It starts with a short orchestral introduction. These are the shepherds, in fact, abiding in the fields, followed by the words of the angel, and then a chorus of angels. I hope you enjoy it. Something a little different this festive season.
And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid.
Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior.
Two extracts there from Sullivan's oratorio, The Light of the World. It's a strange experience, isn't it, listening to very familiar words in a totally unfamiliar setting. Of course, for many of us, God seems to speak only through the voice of Handel and possibly Bach as well. But that's unfair. The Sullivan oratorios, as much as Haydn's and Mendelssohn's, Elgar's, whoever, were very sincerely meant. And there's more than one setting of these famous texts available, and we shouldn't ignore them. I think the Sullivan work is actually rather fine. I have listened to it two or three times since I bought the CDs, and I'm certainly warming to it. And dare I mention that it's a possibility for one of our fine choral societies. It's not excessively difficult, has wonderful solos for soprano, tenor, baritone and contralto, and I'm sure will be an enormous hit in the Villa Marina. Well, it's out there, just needs someone to take up the baton and be a bit adventurous. The music there of Arthur Sullivan, The Light of the World. And now to the music of Eric Coates. Again, like Robert Farnon, a composer whose name appears in these programmes quite often. And why not? He's absolutely the king of British light music. Here's a piece called For Your Delight, a serenade written in 1937, premiered by the BBC Concert Orchestra conducted by Stanford Robinson that year, 1957. Who remembers that, I wonder? Eric Coates, For Your Delight. The music of Eric Coates, Little Serenade for Your Delight. And now to another light music classic, and this may well be the last piece we have time for this evening, so I hope you've enjoyed the programme and will join me next week for my Christmas selection. So, We'll have to see what's in there. A few favourites, I think, and something unusual and little known as well, perhaps just to sort of perk things up. Anyway, it'll certainly be a spicy selection, that I can promise you. So, Haydn Wood, this is The March, The Horse Guards, Whitehall, from one of his magnificent suites. Haydn Wood, of course, almost adopted as a Manx composer, spent his childhood here, and his music does appear on the programme, naturally enough, quite often. So, until next week, please join me again with Haydn Wood, The Horse Guards, Whitehall. Goodbye.